Let's pause for prayer. Oh God, we thank you for your word, which is encouraging, inspiring, and uplifting. But at times your word is puzzling and confusing. So we just pray that your word this morning would break through, that it would give us guidance and direction, that we can apply it to our lives. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A strange event happened in 1888, which will happen this week, and then it won't happen for another 77,000 years. Anybody like to guess what that is? Yeah, any ideas? It will be the convergence of the holiday Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, right? Now, we know what Thanksgiving is, right? Where the pilgrims were helped by the Native Americans. They had moved from England in order to pursue religious freedom and democracy, but they could barely survive in the winter, and so they needed help, and they're desperate. And so a Native American named Squanto came and taught them how to fish and how to plant corn. He also served as guide and interpreter. And then there was another leader, Massasoit, who donated food to the colony because the supplies from England was short. And so in 1621, they celebrated for 3 days Thanksgiving. There are 90 Native Americans there and 53 pilgrims. Of course, we know Abraham Lincoln declared it to be a national holiday in 1863. But what is Hanukkah? Does anybody know? Anybody like to explain it? I had to actually look it up and do research on it. Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday. It's also called the Feast of Lights, right? Correct me if I'm wrong here. But it remembers a time when a small band of Jews revolted against Antiochus, King Antiochus IV. In 175 BC, the King Antiochus of Syria invaded Judea, plundered the people, and took over the temple. So he wanted to establish Greek religion instead of the Jewish religion, so he put a Greek god in place and ordered the sacrifice of pigs on the altar. So they had to deal with that oppression for 10 years until the revolt. They liberated the temple and they rededicated it. And they built a new altar and they put new vessels there. Now the legend goes that the candelabra or the menorah, they only had enough oil to last one day. So they lit it anyway. But miraculously, the oil kept burning for 8 days. And so they attribute that to God. So Hanukkah then celebrates the military victory, but also God's faithfulness and perseverance with them over those 8 days. So we say, why doesn't the holidays converge more often? Well, it's because they're on the Hebrew calendar and we're on the Gregorian calendar, and so it's completely different. But the convergence of these two holidays, the Jewish on the one side, and then the Christian, the American Christian on the other, is that they both celebrate religious liberty, religious freedom. The pilgrims' liberation from England, and the Jews' freedom from the Greeks. So this week, there's this celebration, there's this convergence of freedom and liberty in a unique way, in different form. Now, as Christians, we get ultimately our liberty and our freedom from Christ Jesus. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and it's usually the Sunday right before Advent. In Advent are 4 Sundays before Christmas. So today, you hear the King language, and frequently the scripture that is used have that kind of language, like what we had this morning, where no one knows the day, no one knows the hour when the Son of Man is coming. Two may be in the field, and one will be taken away, and one will be left behind. Or you may have two women working at the mill, where one is gone, and the other will remain. The flood. And so we know that language because we've been experiencing that recently. If we look in the Philippines, if we look at the tornadoes in the Middle East, if we look at the disasters, we've seen people left behind and people just taken away. Shocking series of events that where people have been pummeled really hard. And without notice, with hardly any warning, people's lives have been taken away. And those have been left. One church member was telling me that he has a friend that works in this radar center to where they monitor tornadoes. And he was saying that what on one screen, a tornado showed up 60 seconds before it actually hit. So it showed up, and then 60 seconds later, it was there in that spot. And so there wasn't enough time to let people know. There wasn't enough time to say to people, okay, get out. And so that's similar to the spirit of the scripture, where like in the days of Noah, time could be any moment. But it's a mind-blowing mystery in that in the twinkling of an eye, some people's lives may be abruptly taken away, whereas others are left. Some are freed from the destruction and freed from death. But others are freed in the sense of freed to live on the other side, to live eternally. There is liberty from the life-ending tragedy, while others experience a liberty from the dangers of mortal life. Seems like a contradiction. It seems like confusion. It seems like a paradox. In the same way, the Christian calendar has the paradox of Christ the King and Christ as the baby, Christ as the infant. The paradox is that it talks about Christ breaking into the world where people are celebrating and feasting and getting married and enjoying life, but then all of a sudden, calamity strikes and one is taken away and one is left. And so the scripture says, be alert, because you don't know when the Lord's coming. Be ready. Now, Jesus' entrance into the world, according to this passage, is cosmic. It causes havoc in creation. It creates upheaval and unrest in all of the created order. Jesus' inbreaking shakes the foundations, shatters the status quo, and turns over the power structures. Even in the previous verses, listen to this language. This is verse 29 to 31. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. We have this strange tension of Advent where we're expecting the baby Jesus, where it's nice and soft and gentle and beautiful and tender, versus Christ the King in the second coming, which is terrifying and frightening. It's a cosmic revolution when Christ comes to earth and when Christ enters our hearts. And his presence then strikes at the core of creation, almost dismantling, almost just deconstructing. And we ask, why does it have to be such a dramatic, cosmic entrance into the world? Why does Christ have to shake things up so violently? Why do we have to go through these floods or acts of natural disasters? What Jesus wants, what God wants, is to bring us back to the basics. What Christ wants is to bring us back to the fundamentals, back to simplicity, back to bare faith. means freedom, and that's what freedom means, to be back to the basics. What does this mean, freedom and liberty? It means that Christ coming to us means freedom. Freedom from. When Christ arrives, Christ frees us from a lot of things. Freedom from sin, freedom from oppression, freedom from all the trappings which we find ourselves in every day. Christ can free us from that. This past week, we are remembering John F. Kennedy and his assassination. And I was looking at his inaugural address in 1961, and the theme of his address was the celebration of freedom. Kennedy spoke to our country that was divided at the time, not unlike today. And he encouraged us to follow the words of the prophet Isaiah, which said this, "Undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free." He said, "Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and the success of liberty." To our sister republic south of the border, we offer a special pledge to convert our good words into good deeds in a new alliance for progress, to assist free men and free governments in casting off the chains of poverty. Imagine he said that long ago, and it still applies today as we have not resolved a lot of those issues. The trumpet summons again. He says, not as a call to bear arms, although arms we need, not as a call to battle, though embattled we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, a struggle against the common enemy of man, of tyranny, poverty, disease, and war. Kennedy believed that the hand of God was upon our country as God was guiding us in pursuit and protection of freedom. In Christ Jesus, there are freedoms from ills and infirmities. There's a whole range of things that Christ frees us from. Freedom from selfishness, freedom from being so self-absorbed, freedom from prejudice, freedom from discrimination and oppression, freedom from the temptation to judge, freedom from being mean-spirited, freedom to be hateful and hurtful. This past week, I don't know if you've been keeping track of what's been happening on the United Methodist stage, but some of our clergy have been really grieving because there were charges against a certain clergy in Pennsylvania who had performed a same-sex marriage for his son. And now he is being threatened that he will lose his credentials because of what he did. And there's also charges brought against our bishop. And it's that kind of freedom that Christ should give us, not to judge, to be freed from prejudice and discrimination and oppression. Jesus frees us from those things, but Jesus also frees us to certain things. Christ Jesus frees us to think of the victim. Christ Jesus frees us to think of the neighbor. And I'm so proud of our church in that we packed 20 public buy-in boxes sent to the Philippines this past week. Freedom to be more accepting, freedom to be more inclusive, freedom to risk caring and being kind, freedom to seek justice, freedom to do what is right, freedom to love and serve. Christ Jesus living among us means radically altering our consciousness in our existence. Christ Jesus living in our lives is central and not superficial. Christ Jesus living in our lives is essential and foundational and not optional. Christ Jesus in our lives is cosmic and not cosmetic. Amen.